Good morning, brothers and sisters in the Dharma, Brother Teo and your group of friends from Subang and PJ. Nice to see a big crowd here. Tonight's topic is what is reality? And this word reality has it's variously defined and with different levels of meaning. So Brother Teo here will share with us his Dharma knowledge and what is actually a reality all about. Is it what we see and experience, are all this real? Or are they not real? If they are not real, then what actually is reality that can be taken as the correct definition? So Brother Teo will talk on this topic, and as usual, let us take refuge and observe the precepts. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa.
Okay, thank you so much, Rarity, for the kind introduction to today's topic. So, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, tonight we are going to discuss this topic, very important topic. What is reality? Those who attended the Thursday class, I think you might have heard a little bit of my initial preliminary discussion on it or explanation on it. So tonight is the actual talk. So like I said, before I start, can I ask a question back? Who was the one who suggested this title? Because I want to know what is it that you want to understand. Otherwise, when I start, I will deliver from what I understand. Then it may not meet your expectation. So I prefer to understand how the question comes about and what is it that you really want to develop the understanding. Yeah. Where is Gan? Yeah. Who was the one who suggested this topic? Oh, you suggested. Good. So you let me know. What is it that you want to understand from this title? Can use the mic. Don't worry. Just whatever that come to mind. Huh? Or is it because this title has been used by somebody, then you also want to use the same title, so that you can hear more version of it. That also is a good reason. Yeah, just push it up.
Actually, I was told by Brother T when he attended a talk by Bante Mahinda.
Oh, very good. Wow.
I think he said this topic is very, it's a good topic.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think I take the opportunity to.
Oh, very good. So, Brother T, you heard the talk?
Bante Mahinda.
You heard the talk? Can you give a summary?
I can't remember now.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. You cannot remember now. Okay, we begin with the simple English word. What is reality? So the focus is on this word, reality. What is your understanding of reality? Reality means what?
Real.
Oh, whatever you think real is actually like Brother Tay say. It's the other way around. The Buddha said there is nothing real within the conditioned world. That's all. The conditioned world is all being characterized by what? The three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and empty nature or non-self, anatta nature. So when you understand anatta, you understand that everything is not what you think. You think there is a person, there is a human being, there is a me and an I. Understand that live life, that is born into this world, that can think, that can become emotional, that can become miserable. So you think this is real, you think this is you. Is this a reality? Is this a reality? To most of us, why not reality? This is so real to me, There are so many things in life that experience through using this form of mind. Why you say not me? So when you go deep into it, when you develop the true understanding via the meditation, then you will wake up and all of a sudden you like got a shock. That's enough. When you come to realize a very, very important realization, he know me, he know you. Then who realize? Who realize? So these are the things that you will have to go deep into it through your own investigation, your own cultivation. Is it really true what the Buddha said? That everything is impermanent, and because it is impermanent, it is non-self, it is empty. It's not a permanent, unchanging entity that we can hold on to, grasp on to, and cling on to, and say, this is I, this is me, therefore this can be mine. So this is one aspect. Let's not go into such abstract understanding first. We start step by step. Conventional understanding of this word, reality, means to you, apart from just now our, how should I address him? Uncle or what? Uncle said, brother, sorry, that is a better word. Reality means whatever that is real. What do you think, this definition? Or you have any other definition? We discuss it. Where is the Dhamma discussion? To your understanding, what is reality? Gan, he put up his hand. Oh, okay. So that is one of the definition. How many of you agree? whatever that can be perceived by the senses is real. Whatever that the senses cannot perceive is not real. Oh, nobody agree. Wow, brother kan, susah lah. Then what about those who don't agree? Why you don't agree? Yeah? My voice, you can perceive that. Okay? Then you say it's real. So his definition is not so bad. Huh? But then you go deeper. What happened? It's real according to who? You never ask. Answer not. Real according to him and you all, because you are nearby. So there is condition for that vibration to hit your eardrum, and upon contact with mind, and if it's functioning, consciousness come to be. Hearing consciousness come to be. You can perceive that hearing consciousness. So to you is real. Anything perceivable by the senses is real according to you. Understand not? I give you another analogy that you understand. Like when you are driving your car along certain stretch. Let's say your car is a sports car, huh? A lot of sound, huh? Very loud. So as you pass by certain area, people who are within the range can hear you, understand not? So that sound of that car, passing car, to them is real, understand not? Because there is condition to perceive it, understand not? But what happens if after it passed, you cannot hear already? You say, no more exists. Correct not? You're out of range. But then further down, people there, oh, they say real. Because they perceive it. Understand not? This is one example. That's why all these are conventional truth. Not real, absolute truth. They are not reality. They are not absolute reality or ultimate reality. They are relative truth. Conventional reality. Understand not? Conventional because it's based on convention. We use word. We use the senses to perceive. But through science, we know. Our senses are limited. Correct or not? The hearing. You know your ear because of your DNA and your whatever means structure within. The hearing frequency range is limited. Certain pitch higher than that frequency, you cannot hear. But the dog can hear. You agree or not? Very sharp and high pitch. Because they are trained to listen. So real and unreal is relative. Understand? Because we use senses to perceive. Scientists are also limited by that. Understand? So whatever our senses cannot see, yeah, like the distant star, the planets and everything. What do the scientists do? Yeah? They invent what? Telescope. Then for small things, they have microscope. They magnify. Understand? Then things that you cannot see, they see. Understand? To them, there is another reality. Understand? That's why they got the quantum physics. They got the what they call the very, very microscopic type of science. Then that one follow different law. Understand? Yeah. Then when it comes to distant object, they got this magnifying telescope that can see many, many light years now. Then they can actually receive all the data. Then they can also send spaceship out. Then they relay back all the images. Then they have supercomputers that can calculate and actually map out everything for you. That's why we progress very fast. So whatever that you can perceive within your five physical senses are very limited. That's why the ancient people, earlier civilization, before science and technology progressed to what it is today and beyond, they really are ignorant and deluded because many things they cannot understand. Then they attribute to what? When there is lightning, they say, God is angry. Then a lot of nature's phenomena they cannot understand because it can be explained by science later on. But that time they take it as supernatural, superstitious. So everything is the same perception, no? But without understanding, you perceive it wrongly, through lack of understanding. So a better way to define this word is what? What is a better way to define reality? Very good. Truth is one of the good words. Yeah. Truth points towards the reality. That all religion claim to have what? Yeah? All religion, they try to monopolize what? The truth. Isn't it? They say my religion has the truth. Truth means what? Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. Correct? Right? So you're happy with this definition. Right? So this one is not relative. No? Like the dog, high pitch they can hear. Because science has breakthrough on the sound. Right? Because their hearing organ is different. So it can explain the way things are on the sound. Right? That's why science can actually bring about a lot of what they call proof that can develop further understanding that cannot be understood during the early days. But science is limited. Understand? Why? Because it's dependent on what? The thought, the instrument. Understand? So thought, why is it limited? Thought is very, very gross type of consciousness. Understand? Whereas there is another type of consciousness, which is the pure awareness, the pure consciousness, the true mind. That one is very, very different. That one is very, very refined. That one can travel faster than the speed of light. That's why with that, the spiritual cultivator and being, they can understand many, many things. That is within the nature's law. There is one nature's law that governs all of mind. Understand not? The Buddha called it Chitta Niyama. Understand not? Chitta is mind. Yeah? So all of mind, you have the mundane mind, you have the true mind, they actually follow this law. There is no such thing as magic or psychic. Understand not? If you train your mind in that particular way, thought-based, you use thought, energy field, then you have psychic ability. It's a nature's law. It's nothing magical. Can be explained if you understand. If you probe deep within the recess of mind, then you can develop those conditions that it will manifest. But what scientists cannot develop is because most of them don't go into that field of spirituality or spiritual cultivation. To develop the silent mind, to develop the true mind, to connect so that they can actually measure and understand many, many things that is beyond the thought, beyond the field of thought, which is limited by the instrument that you need to use. So when we talk about reality, we need to have a penetrative understanding of what these things are. So I ask you another question. Now that we have defined what reality is, you want me to write down or not? Reality is whatever that can explain the way things are. That is the truth, isn't it? Yeah? That is the reality. Yeah. It points towards the reality. That's why it has to be the truth. So after we have defined this, you ask yourself, through what you have cultivated and studied under the Buddha Dharma, what did the Buddha's teaching point towards? Is there any part within the teaching that talks about reality? What are the things that governs all this. You have gone through life. The Buddha teach what? Four Noble Truths, correct. Within the Four Noble Truths, the last Noble Truth, Noble Eightfold Path, it starts with what? Right view with regards to what? All of the laws that governs life and existence. Understand? These are nature's law. Understand? And what are the laws that the Buddha has defined? What are they? The five universal order. Pancha Niyamas. What are they? The first two is scientific. The first two is scientific. So, Pancha Niyamas, the five great order of nature or universal order. This one is five, Pancha. First one is Utu Niyama. Second one is Bija Niyama. So this is nature's physical order. Understand that? All physical law obey this nature's law. Understand that? Then this is biological order of nature. These two are scientific law. Correct or not? So this one, when the scientists probe and when they penetrate this law of physics, chemistry, biology, they became very, very advanced. You realize or not? The last 40, 50 years, we progressed so fast because we penetrated science. And from the understanding, technology come into being. Then they have instrument to help them to probe the computers, everything. That's why they advance so fast. But this is the scientific law. Means, scientifically, they advance. These are for mundane usage. Understand? Correct spelling? Correct? But it looks funny to me, all this. Correct, isn't it? Correct, lah. Never mind. Spelling, you go back and correct. So, after this scientific law, the other three laws are what? These are the spiritual law. And this one, the Buddha is an expert. Understand? Lah? What are the three spiritual law? No. That one is the last one. No. Karma Niyama. Law of karma. Law of karma. This is the first right view, remember? Every day the Buddha asks you to reflect and contemplate. The five daily contemplation, the last one. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. Understand? And because of this right view, the Buddha, like the scientist, when he penetrate this, he really penetrate and understand, all his teaching come about. Do you know what are the advice of the Buddha? What is the advice of the Buddha? Avoid all evil first. All evil is to be avoided. Then, whatever wholesomeness, when there is condition, you should try to do. Then, last one is that, purify your mind. Why does the Buddha advise you to do that? Why must do that? Because of this law. This law said, you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition, suppose you are what you are because of your karma. And karma plays such a great role. So what must you do? You must take care of karma. So that karma take care of your life. You are born of it, heir to it, condition, supported by it. And you are what you are because of it. How do you take care of karma? Avoid all evil, then no negative karma, understand? That's why the advice comes. Then do good. Then you must have wisdom. Otherwise, you don't know how to do good. You don't know what is evil. You don't know what. So this advice comes from this right view. Then The other aspect of this law of karma is what? You reap what you sow. If you plant the seed of evil or the causes of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. Understand? That's why do good begets good, do evil begets evil. So if you know that there is such a nature's law, how will you live your life? When you know that there is karmic repercussion, everything that you do, act, speak, and think, there is karmic repercussion. Cantonese, they say, po wing. So you dare to do evil or not? You dare to neglect your family or not? You dare to neglect your duty or not? You dare to cheat, deceive, and harm, hurt people or not? Because you reap what you sow. That's a lot. If you do all this, you create negativity tendency for your negative karma. When the condition arrives, you become the victim, you will be afflicted, and you will become miserable. So because of that, the reason why the Buddha say all evil, you must avoid, because you cannot take chance. This nature's law is very powerful. If you don't believe, through your delusion, you plant the seed of evil because of your selfishness. That's a lot. Because you are greedy, you are lustful, you are deceitful. And you have a lot of emotional negativity, envy, jealousy, fear, worry, anxiety, delusion. You deludedly believe you are real. That's why you develop selfishness. You want to own things, you want to have things, you want to possess things, and you want to control things. Then when things go wrong, you become angry, emotional. That's why the evil roots are there, greed, hatred. Then when you cannot understand something, you have fear. That is delusion. So the evil root comes from sakayadity that grabs and cling onto this form and mind, fire aggregate, the human being, that condition you into negativity. That's how you, through your delusion, you dare to violate this nature's law. Because you are selfish, you break your precepts, understand? You harm, you kill, because you couldn't care less. You only care for yourself, understand? You never feel and care for others. So, how to avoid all evil? What is the Buddha's advice? How can you avoid all evil? What constitutes evil? That's how the teaching come about. Every day puja, what do you chant just now? Yeah? Ah, you renew your five precepts, isn't it? Why lay people minimum five precepts? You reflect and contemplate. What does the precept say? Panatipata viramanisika padang samadhiyami. What does it mean? I undertake the training rule to abstain from killing or causing harm to fellow living beings. So you ask, why keep this precept? The question is what? The inquiry. Who kill? Who harm? Who? Selfish people, karena. Deluded people. Violent people. Angry people. Ignorant people. So the three evil roots are there. That's why you commit negative karma. That's why you have to avoid all evil, means you avoid the evil roots. You avoid negative karma. That's why the first precept is about killing and causing harm to fellow living beings. You reap what you sow. When you cause this karmic negativity to other beings, when the karma ripens, when there is condition for it to ripen, you will become the victim. You will suffer back. Understand? That's why when you neglect your children through whatever selfishness or delusion or ignorance, in future when you are born, you will have parents who will do the same to you. Understand? They will neglect you. They will, through their delusion, actually cause a lot of misery to you because that is what you did to your children. So if you understand there is such a nature's law, you will never, never do evil. You will keep your precept. Second precept is the same. Who steal? Who deceive? Who misappropriate things that don't belong to them? Greedy people, selfish people, ignorant people. Understand? Cunning people. All these have the evil roots. Understand? So that's why the teaching comes from this right view, this right understanding. And this is a nature's law, very powerful. Every living being is subject to it. So if you understand this law, you will know how to live life. Isn't it? That's why the Buddha, before he died, what did he say? Strive on with heedfulness. strive on is diligent. Strive on with heedfulness. You need to be heedful. Why must you be heedful? Heedful is what? Ever mindful to cultivate noble eightfold path. Means what? Ever mindful to have this right view cultivated. So that it will condition the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So that you won't make mistakes. Understand? So that your life is orderly. So that you will know how to reap the benefit of this nature's law that will reward you accordingly. If you follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil and do good, you will receive the fruition of your action. When you are good to people, when you are nice to people, when you have a lot of generosity, you reap what you sow. When you come, people will be nice to you. Understand? Then whatever generosity parami that you have donated or offered, all this will come back to you as your inheritance or as your whatever good condition. Sometimes you think, oh, I'm very lucky. Oh, I'm very successful career-wise. It's because in the past you have these good merits behind, good blessing behind that supported you. But when these are spent, then your negative condition arise, then you complain. How come life like that? Why is God so unfair? Why am I so sui? It's nothing to do with whether you sui or you lucky. It's your karma. The Buddha said, you cannot blame anybody. Because this right view is very important. You are born of your karma, head to your karma, condition, support. And you are what you are because of your karma, nothing else. Understand? So you cannot blame anybody for your life condition and misery. So this right view, this spiritual law, is one of the most powerful. And from here, all his other teaching come about. From heedfulness, you develop mindfulness to cultivate noble eightfold path. That's why you train your mind to have this right view, straighten your view, so that you won't violate this law, so that it will support you in your life, so that everything you do, you will become beautiful. The nature's law will support you all the way. It will not hit back at you. So this is how you apply the understanding of truth and reality. And these are Dhamma. Because he teaches the Dhamma, he teaches the truth. And the four noble truths are special truths. Because noble truths are truth that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. So this is one of the three spiritual laws. Spiritual laws. And the Buddha is an expert in this because he is a spiritual teacher, fully enlightened, perfect in wisdom and virtue. Then the next one is what? Huh? Next one is what? Citta niyama. Huh? Law of the mind. Huh? This one is niyama. Huh? Bija niyama. Uttu niyama. So all of mind follow this law. So mind got two, mundane and super mundane. The normal mundane mind and the true mind. This law governs all the function of mind. So under this law, what did the Buddha teach? Just now, Brother Tay asked me, what did the Buddha teach? When we were at the dinner. You asked me whether I gave that talk before or not. What was it? Yes. So, the law of dependent origination. Law of dependent origination. This one is what you call Paticca Samuppada, or dwelling. You heard of this, isn't it? You heard of this or not? Paticca Samuppada or Ittapajjata. The first link is what? Avijja Paccaya Sankara. If you understand this law, you will understand how your mind functions, how you become deluded, how you are conditioned into negativity, how upon contact feeling arise immediately without wisdom, yoniso manasikara, you cannot cut at feeling. Feeling, it will be conditioned into craving straight away. And craving is the cause of suffering. That's why from craving, the other link will connect very fast. That's why without wisdom, you cannot guard, you cannot let go. These are all delusion. Understand? Who guard? Who try to let go? The people who attach and deluded try to cut and let go. Understand? If you don't cultivate wisdom, you cannot do it. Understand? The moment you understand, when there is wisdom, yoniso manasikara, it means you are no longer deluded, no more avijja, what happened? You will not hold, is that? You will not cling, is that? You will not grasp, is that? There will be no craving, is that? So when you cannot hold, cannot grasp, because you have the understanding, what is there to let go? Understand? Correct? Who let go? The thought that is deluded, what to let go? Understand? Through creating words and idea for you. And it appears very logical, isn't it? That's why you all practice letting go. Practice cut at feeling. You ask yourself, without wisdom, you can do it or not? Nothing free except wisdom. You can suppress that craving. You can control it through meditation. Go into jhana, absorption, samadhi. But you cannot root it out. Understand? That's why those who suppress and control is all thought-based meditation. You cannot break free. So this one is a great law. Law of dependent origination. You need to meditate to see the link clearly within. Excuse me. How your mind actually react. React to everything you see, you hear, you smell, you tactile feel and think. You taste and all these things, the senses. How come you just react like that? How come your mind can stir and become fearful, emotional? You never inquire. You never really investigate. Because you didn't silence your mind. You didn't find out what is going on. All of your conditioning, your views, your opinion, you cannot see. How you get yourself entangled until what you are, so heedless. How did the hindrance come to be? How does the evil root come to be? All you never learned, you never understood, because you never understood what sati is. Your mind is seldom heedful, seldom mindful, seldom aware and with the moment. You are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. So much so you never leave. True or not? True or not? You may not true. You go back and check and see throughout the day what you do. Like Thursday class we share. You think only people who talk a lot heedless? Those who didn't talk inside the heart chatter more. The depressed people shut themselves up in there. Don't want to talk to anybody. That chattering inside there make them cuckoo, so depressed, so unhappy, so miserable. That is the result of heedlessness. The silent mind is not don't talk. You go to meditation center, I saw that sign, I also feel funny. They put the finger on the mouth, means what? Don't talk. And they say that is noble silence. Is that noble silence? You don't talk verbally, but inside that chapter like anything, talk even more. And you call that noble silence. The noble silence is not like that. The noble one don't think, don't chatter one. They are most of the time relaxed, silent, and peaceful. And whatever it is, they don't have to use thought when there is no necessity to use thought. What is thought? Thought are sankara. Understand? Mental states, mental activity, all of your content of consciousness. So these are all what thought is all about. That's why if you don't silence your mind and meditate and find out, you can never understand what that mundane mind is all about, what that conditioned arising mind is all about, what the Buddha meant by that dependent origination. What is avijja also you don't know. What is avijja? You always use the word ignorant, ignorant or what? Ignorant of what? Let's now study and investigate. The first thing you say, avijja, I heard from Sister Kwan. Where is she? Just now somebody mentioned that, I think uncle also, a brother also. Ignorant of what? You use the word ignorant, but... of all this that nobody teach. That is a very good answer. Ignorant of the true Dhamma. Ignorant of the nature's law that governs life and existence. If these are the things that governs your life and existence, and you don't understand what these are, I ask you one very simple question. Then how are you going to live life? And you don't even know who you are, what you are, then who is living your life? Who? You don't even know who you are and what you are. You think this human being is you. Then who is living your life? The thought is living your life. Understand? And you have been conditioned by thought into so much delusion and negativity without you knowing it. Understand? Can follow or not? So, these two spiritual laws is already so powerful. Understand? It can bring forth the understanding to allow you to have the right understanding, the right view, to actually change your life. And when you change your life through understanding, I can tell you in this world, nobody is deluded enough to be so stupid when they know this law and they don't know how to live. Understand? If you understand that your life is governed by this, you somehow don't want to become heedful and train your mind to understand this law clearly. Reflect, contemplate, first turning, second turning. Develop the wisdom, then cultivate bhavana, third turning. Penetrate the understanding. Then when you understand this law, you know how to live. These are like the secret of life, understand? That's why you have to have right view over Eightfold Path in order to live life. If you don't have right view, what happens? The next link is what? The next path factor is what? Noble Eightfold Path. After right view, samadhi is what? Right understanding and samadhi is the same. Right thought is there. Sama sankappa. Right thought. What is right thought? Thought born of right view is there. If your view is wrong, what happened? Thought will be wrong, isn't it? That thought has mental intention. Thought condition what? Action, speech, and livelihood. So if your view is wrong, your thought will be wrong. Then it will condition the wrong speech, wrong action, and wrong livelihood. So who cultivate Noble Eightfold Path? Wrong thought cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. That's all. Then what type of Noble Eightfold Path is there? That's why your whole cultivation collapses. That's why without right view, without right understanding, you cannot really start. That's why don't be too eager to jump into meditation. Understand them. Know what they are. That's why I say meditation must be done with understanding. Okay? What is the last nature's law? So after Kama Niyama, Chitta Niyama, the fifth one is what? Dhamma Niyama. What is Dhamma Niyama? What is Dhamma? The teaching of the Buddha is there. All the essential Dhamma of the Buddha is there. They are about truth. Understand? That's why he teaches the truth. Dhamma is truth. Understand? So Dhamma Niyama under the teaching, the most powerful and the most important is what? Which is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. What is it? Just now you told me already. Four noble truths. So this one is a very powerful one. This one is the four noble truths. So this four noble truths, from here, all of the essential Dhamma spin off. Understand not? Four foundation of mindfulness is within the four noble truths. Correct not? The fourth noble truth. The first noble truth of suffering explains to you the reality of life and existence, all the eight conditions that can bring about suffering and misery when you don't have wisdom. Then the second noble truth explains to you the cause behind all of your life suffering and misery. Third noble truth is what? The Buddha said, there is a noble truth that gives you confidence. Suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. This third noble truth
that talks about the cessation of suffering or the end of all suffering can be realized. Then there is the fourth noble truth that even show you the way, is it? If you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the enlightenment, to the end of all suffering. That's why this four noble truth is so powerful. All the teachings spin off from there. And to me, the first time I heard about it in 1971, I straight away knew, that's it, no need to search anymore. Because when I read the four noble truth for the first time, I tell you, it's as if I understood the whole truth. My nature just filled with joy. And it tells me what, whoever the Buddha is, 2,000 over years ago, if he can summarize all of his enlightenment understanding into just four noble truths, so powerful, he must be the real one. Because even I told myself, if I had realized that truth, I cannot summarize it so beautifully. It's just four noble truths. You know, within the four noble truths, I straight away knew all of the secret of life, mundane and supramundane, they are all there. I don't need to learn from anybody else. The first noble truth already explained all of life that you are going to confront and encounter. Nothing can be apart from that eight condition, I tell you, the first noble truth. Then he even tell you how you become miserable, no? How you are afflicted, no? How suffering come to be, no? Because of craving, born of sakayaditi, self-delusion, ignorant. So when I know what suffering is and the cause, I will know how to manage my life there. True or not? You will no longer be deluded anymore. You know what suffering is and you don't want to face it anymore. And the only way is to understand what is the cause behind. Then reverse it through right view and never allow it to afflict you anymore. So how do you do it? You cultivate noble eightfold path. Then it will lead to the realization of enlightenment. That the noble truth will be realized. Then when you realize, you become noble one, enlightened one. And this is the supramundane state. Understand not? That's why all of mundane and supramundane, they are all there. The secret of life is all there. When you know the secret of life, you will know how to live life, isn't it? True or not? This is what the teaching is all about. This is what reality is all about. Understand not? But this is just a general perspective to bring you into the topic. Understand not? Now we go deeper. The Buddha talked about two types of reality. What are the two types of reality? You heard of this word, right? You can see here. Samuti. Samuti. Okay, the other one is paramita. Paramita, I think you all heard of, huh? Eh? Paramita, you heard of, huh? Abhidhamma student will know. Huh? You all haven't heard of this word? This word may be less, huh? So, the first thing is, this is ultimate. How to spell? Ultimate. This is conventional. Conventional. Sorry. Conventional. Okay. So, the Buddha said there are two types of truth. Such a. First one is conventional truth. Yeah? Truth is such a. Huh? This one is truth. You heard of this word, isn't it? Such a. Yeah? So, samuti such a is conventional truth. Then, paramita such a is ultimate truth. Conventional truth. Okay? Paramita such a. What is conventional truth? What is relative truth? Conventional and relative truth are the same. Huh? follow convention, relative. That truth is not a reality, Anasara. But according to convention, it's a reality. Like just now, Brother Gan start, he defined. Whatever that the senses can perceive is a reality. But he didn't go deeper. Reality according to who? According to his five aggregate or form of mind. That's why it's relative. According to convention. Like that moving car. The vibration, after it passed by, you cannot hear because not within your hearing range. You say no more. Cease to be. Don't exist. Not real. Further down, when people hear, exist again, understand? Then they say real. They heard the sound. You say not real. No more. So it's all relative. Conventional truth. Understand? But ultimate truth is no such thing as convention. It points towards the reality. That's why whatever that can explain the way things are, that is the truth. That is the reality. Like these laws. The scientist can prove it. Understand? He said, according to physics, law of physics, this atmospheric pressure, you boil your water, it will hit boiling point at 100 degrees Celsius. Then you continue to put in more heat, what happened? Steam will come out. Understand? This is nature's law. Then if you lower the temperature, you cool it down, you freeze it, what happened? When it reached zero, you continue to take the heat away, what happened? It will freeze and become ice. This is nature's law. Understand now? And it's true for all conditions that has this type of atmospheric pressure. So nature's law, they have their own law that governs life and existence. So when you understand, they behave in a similar way. Spiritual law is the same. So these are reality, and these are ultimate truth, ultimate reality. But the Buddha actually moved one step further. Instead of talking about conventional truth and ultimate truth, the Buddha went into one more aspect. He called it Paramatta Dhamma. I think got two T, Paramatta. Dhamma. The Dhamma that explains the ultimate in this universe. Abhidhamma has it. There are four, the Buddha said. There are four. Paramatta Dhamma. What are they? Those who know Abhidhamma. What are the four ultimate Dhammas? They are not ultimate truth, no. They are ultimate Dhamma, no. What are they? Namacitta summarize the first three. You break it down. First one is Rupa. What is Rupa? Rupa is form. So after that is Chitta. Chitta is consciousness. Then third one is what? Very good. Wow. Chetasikas. Oh, sorry, spelling wrong. Chetasikas. Fourth one is what? Very good. Brother Teisho know. Nibbana. So this is the unconditioned, supramundane, ultimate. Understand now? So this is the Lokuttara. How to spell? Who know how to spell this word? L? K-I? No, that is Lokiya. That is conventional. Lokuttara. K-U, Lokut. T-T. A-R-A, Something like that. So, Nibbana is the unconditioned. This is supramundane, Lokuttara, Dhamma. That's why you hear all these two words. These three are Lokiya. Lokiya is mundane. Understand not? And you know why the Buddha subdivided like that? Because these are called ultimates. Understand not? The four ultimates of Dhamma. Why did the Buddha define it this way? Everything that you can understand about the universe, they are never apart from these four. This is the supramundane, Nibbana. The Nibbana that is only realized in the unconditioned enlightenment state. Yeah? So this is supramundane. This one is mundane, Lokiya Tam or Lokiya Dhamma. The Buddha simplified many, many things for you to understand. He said the first one is form. All of external form. All of physical body and external form. They are all rupa. And the very primary four characteristics are the four elements. Understand? They are manifested in the four elements. Anything that has solidity, cohesion or liquidity, or have this, what they call wayo or wind element. The last one is heat element. These are all four. Understand? That's why they are called rupa. Yeah. Then there is a mind that know this form. Understand? Krena, living being, human being got consciousness. That's why he say there is a consciousness, a citta, that know this form. This universe is just like that. He said, that's why the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Remember? Dhammapada verse 1 and 2? When mind arises, everything comes to be. So this is the knowing element. Whatever that the mind know is the form in the mind. Understand? But this mind, which is the mundane mind, not the true mind. The true mind is when you realize Nibbana and that true mind realize itself and cease. This one is the supramundane, the unconditioned. This one is the mundane mind. So this mundane mind, after it arises because of wrong view, delusion, ignorance, especially self-delusion, it will arise citta seekers. What are citta seekers? Yeah? They use the English translation as mental factors. Correct or not? You heard of it, yeah? But actually it's not mental factor. It's mental chetasikas. They are all the concomitant that is inside your mind. Actually, everything that your mind can do inside there. That chitta is a receptacle. You remember the four aggregates of mind? What are they? Vedana, sanya, sankara. These chetasika are the 52 sankaras, inclusive of vedana and sanya. All of the 52 sankara. This is chetasikas. So this sometimes people translate as the mental content, content of consciousness, concomitant, asana, or some call it mental factors. Yeah. Actually, it is a very, very big field. Everything that your mind can do that can arise. All of your mental activity, your mental states or emotion, your mental intention, your mental formation, your mental whatever, scheming, cunningness, planning, hallucinating, all these are within the chetasikas. So, when you combine chetasika and citta, this is what mind is all about. That this whole universe, because of mind, everything come to be. Anasana. Then there is another aspect, the rupa. That's why the whole of the phenomenal world exists because of form and mind. Anasana. Namarupa. And this is within the conditioned world. then the unconditioned is Nibbana. So this one is just to introduce you to this topic of the four ultimates of Dhamma. Why the Buddha defined it this way. But this one doesn't mean that they are real, understand? Ultimate in the conventional sense doesn't mean they are real. They are all subject to the three universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state, and non-self. Understand? That's why the Buddha say all forms are unreal. Why? This table, is it real? Do you show real one? So tangible. I can feel it, I can use it. Why you say not real? But the Buddha, when he penetrates, you know what he will tell you. How can it be real? Real according to who? Your thought. How do you know this table? Eh? How do you know? Through what? Your seeing consciousness, then? You perceive it through your sanya, correct? So when you perceive it, what do you see? It's just an image up here. Correct? Externally, already not so real, no? But you cannot see. No? To you use conventional reality, you know. Samutti satcha. You say real. That's why Heart Sutta say what? Form is emptiness. Emptiness is form. Then the Buddha say, Rupang anicang. Rupang anatta. Anatta is what? Not a permanent, unchanging entity. Cannot be hang on to, cling on to, grasp on to, and hold on to, and say, this is real. This is me. This is I. Externally already not so real. This exists because of what? Certain condition behind. Understand? I give you another analogy, you understand. My voice. Real or not? As real as it can be when the supporting condition is there. Correct or not? If I continue to speak this vibration through the mind, hit your eardrum, functioning, the hearing consciousness arise, then you say my voice exists. True or not? Then you say it's real. The moment I stop, dead and gone. Then what is real? What is unreal? How can it be real? Because it's condition arising. Understand not? It needs condition for it to arise. And it needs the sustenance of that condition for it to continue to exist as vibration and voice for you to hear. Where this phenomenon is very transient. That's why I like to use it. Understand not? This table lasts longer. Like this human body lasts longer. You cannot see. It's as transient as my voice. Understand not? What are the conditions behind its arising? Yeah? You somebody get a raw material. You get a manufacturer or carpenter to do it. Then you put it on sale. Then, or somebody buy, donate to Tiratana. Condition arises, exists. Belong to you. Clear? What are the conditions for its disappearance? You want to change to a new one? Tomorrow you decide to donate. Understand not? And buy another one. Or somebody come and borrow. Or to say it more, maybe easier to understand. Stolen. Then gone. Understand not? Or to be more, maybe less, sound less good. Let's say there's a fire. This one get burned down. What happened? No more. Yeah. Don't exist already. Yeah. That's why externally already not so real. Condition arising. You cannot see. Then how do you know? The Buddha said. Through the mind. That perceive it through the seeing consciousness. And this is just an image inverted in your brain here. And because of your brain, it has been trained to put it upright. Then you see it as an image, understand not, in your brain. Externally, already conditioned arising, not so real. And when you see it through the perception, which is just an image in your brain, it's even more unreal, isn't it? Correct or not? Correct or not? Then why are you still cling and grasp and hold? Why can't you accept the reality of its condition? See it clearly and understand it is only here, exists, belong to you when condition is there. When condition is to be, is dead and gone, no more. That's why everything is impermanent, come and go. Because it's anicchang, it is condition arising, it is anatta, empty, not real. That's why the Mahayana are very good. He said, lai ye kong, qi ye kong. Nama si zu a, he bi ku ku wei kong liu lei na. Correct na? When you are born into this world, you come with nothing. When the breath stops, you die, you also cannot take along anything in physical. So either way is empty there. Then why in between you grieve over emptiness and become so miserable over attachment, clinging, craving? Oh, my loved one, my car, my property, my wealth, my career, all this. You become miserable. Why? Because you deludedly grasp and cling and think that they are real. Can you understand? This one not so clear. No? The Buddha one more clear. The Buddha teach the monk one. No? You remember the bulokat analogy? Remember? Bulokat analogy? What did the monk told, the Buddha told the monk? He said, you see. He pointed the bulokat. What did you see? What did the monk told the Buddha? Bulokat. Everybody confirm bulokat. He said, are you sure? You know what the Buddha said? Okay, now, this few monks, go. Dismantle it. They take the wheel apart, the axle, everything, the carriage, all break down. Then they say, what do you see? No more bulokat. Understand? Okay, go and fix it back. Eh? Again, now bulokat exists already. Now the Buddha asks, what do you learn? And now? You can awaken now. Hey, really, I'm not joking. What do you learn? What is a bulokat? When the parts comes together and it performs a function, you give it a name and a concept, it arises and exists already. Correct? When the parts come together means what? The condition for it to arise is there. Understand? Then you deludedly grasp and click, oh, bulokat exists already. I want to own it. Then you cling, you grasp, you attach without understanding. But when conditions cease to be, sometimes no need to go and dismantle. No. Accident, nature's disaster, or anything can cause it to disperse. No. Understand? No? Like during war. Huh? Just maybe ancient day, not so powerful. Huh? They don't have missile and all those things. Huh? They just maybe weapon. Huh? Violent people come and whack you and take your carriage or block. Nowadays, they press one button. Next day, MH17 also gone. Understand? Become debris. So technology can make such great difference. So the Buddha say, externally, the block card is condition arising. Correct or not? Not so real. Correct or not? Then how do you know it's a block card? You perceive it through your seeing consciousness. Correct or not? Correct or not? Huh? How do you perceive? The image, mental image. This is even more unreal than the external form. Understand now? That is already not so real, condition arising. When you perceive it as an image, it's just an image. It's even more unreal. Understand now? That's why I always tell you what. It's only a thought. How come you got such power to make you so miserable? Yeah? Suffer like anything. Who make you miserable? You go and think and think and think and become miserable. The depression people are like that. The deluded people are like that. They become so emotional and so unhappy over what the thought tell them. You know what they tell you? How can this guy do this to me? Who the hell he is? Then the worst is what? No. Now we talk about reality. Yeah? All these are not reality. Yeah? We are thought project and tell you all this story and you believe. and you become miserable over just what the thought tells you. That is delusion, self-delusion. Let's say you go and see a doctor. Then doctor say, maybe I need to check you up, do a biopsy test. Then before the result come out, you panic like anything, understand? We are 1 week for the result to come out. You cannot sleep. A lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, a lot of worry. What happened if it's positive? The reality is result not out yet, understand? But your thought project, which is not a reality and make you so miserable. And this is what suffering is all about, the Buddha said. Where you attach, you cling, you don't know what reality is. Reality is, if my DNA is like that, if my karma like that, if condition like that, if it's like that, it will be like that. Understand? Then why you want to worry about life? Why can't you just accept what happened and leave and move? Understand? Do what you have to do. Don't go and project your thought and fear. Develop the fear, the worry, the anxiety, the suffering for nothing. This is what Dhamma is all about. Reality is, whatever that follow nature's law, if its condition is like that, it's going to be like that, I have to accept that reality. Understand? I have to accept what is. If I want things my way, what happened? Which is not nature's way. What happened to you? You will suffer there. Not able to get what you want lead to suffering. And the first noble truth is so clear, telling you all this. But you all never penetrate the Dhamma, understand? Or never teach. Now only you know. After you know, you will still be so deluded or not. You will still go and worry about things or not. Initially less. Then later on when you become expert and clear, then you say, oh, you really, why so stupid last night? Actually, without Brother Teo telling me, if I understand myself, I also know how to do one. Correct or not? But how come living being has this type of fear, this type of habitual tendency to go and project the thought? Because you cannot understand what this five aggregate of form and mind is. This four ultimate Dhamma, you cannot understand what they are. You never meditate. You never investigate into them. You never understood the noble truth, the essential Dhamma. Why are you not peaceful? Why are you not hateful? You cannot understand. You always blame. You're here so noisy, that's why I cannot meditate. I must go sumero. You justify. Whether you can meditate or cannot meditate doesn't depend on the environment. You need the environment to make you peaceful means you're still far away from understanding meditation. The reality is you are here, you got no choice. Whether you are peaceful or not peaceful depends on what you understand and what you have cultivated. If your spiritual faculty are not there and you want to be peaceful, I tell you, very difficult. Even you go sumero, I tell you, your peace is not going to last. You can be very quiet, very still. Then suddenly one group of Kayanamita, like what we did Saturday go there. You remember? At the, what they call, stupa there. There were people meditating there. That's why I purposely went out and test them. But nobody complained, luckily. But I saw some, they respect go off. So I asked for forgiveness if I disrupted your peace. On behalf of all the Kayanamita too. But it's a good test. We meant good. The condition was so beautiful that day, 20th September. You remember? So, if you can just become unhappy and miserable and your peace is shattered just because one group of people just come visit and did some chanting or whatever. Luckily, we chant Buddhist chant, no? Vandami Chetiyan Sabbam, no? If we chant some Christian chant, how? Or some dialect that you don't quite understand, then that mind will react in there. That's why when you don't have wisdom and understanding, you don't know how your mind work and function, thought has power over you, your delusion has power over you, then the evil roots condition you into negativity without you understanding it. That's why you suffer, understand? Can you understand? So with this, I will end my talk. Yeah? So I hope you learn something. Yeah? Okay? You got now Q&A. Huh? You got question you can ask. You still got some time left. Huh? Anybody want to ask any question, you can. Yeah.
This is your opportunity to have answers to your questions, and especially with Brother Theo here and some other good speakers who can answer in depth or clarify questions that we may have. Please do not feel shy. Eh? There is no such thing as a silly question.
Yeah, all right. Very true. Yeah.
Because if the mind has doubts, not clear, then naturally you need an answer. Whether you are now 30, 40, 50 years old, and one who is 7 years old, it's just that thought. You have a question, you just have to ask. Whether it's by a 7 year old or by us 50 or 60 years old. All right? So please ask when there are good conditions here for your questions to be answered.
So most people are quite shy, eh? Like Rarity say. So I ask you one question first. Eh? Who is shy? Your thought is shy, it's not you, understand? No. Thought always paiseh one. And what is thought? Your opinion of thing, your view of thing. The reality is, if I'm sincere, I want to understand something, I just ask sincerely. Whatever that is sincere will give rise to condition for Dhamma to flow. That's why there is no such thing as good or bad question, right or wrong question, or silly question like Brother T said. Those are people who have convention. Understand? If you are sincere, every question is a good question. Because you ask from your heart, you want to understand, and you want to create condition for people to understand. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, there's one at the back. Yeah, pass the mic. Yeah. Yes. For the recording, the mic. Yeah, you use the mic because otherwise the recording cannot.
Brother Theo,
the
thought is condition, right?
Yes.
Very condition. So if it's condition, that means if you enter Nibbana, so what is one enter? Is it a thought? Are you reborn?
Okay.
Is it a thought that you reborn? Follow
okay.
through?
Okay, very good question. Let's say sadhu to him first. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. It's not to say your question is a very good question. Your question bring about condition for me to speak. Because this is not human being want to know one. This one is up there want to know one. So I will answer you. You see, if you are always familiar with thought, thought is the only instrument you understand. That's how you think who enters Nibbana. The Buddha already told you that. He know you, who he know me. Then who enters Nibbana? Yeah? Who become enlightened? Huh? Now you investigate together. Very easy then. Huh? You didn't hear the question? Who then? There is nobody, the Buddha said. The person who practice, who is the person? That form and mind is not a permanent, unchanging entity. You know what that form and mind is or not? Like this form and mind. This so-called human being. No energy. Slowly, we go into it. This is very interesting. That's why I realize a lot of people, so-called Buddhism for so long, meditate so long, and yet simple knowledge or understanding of who you are, what you are, you still don't know. Take this form in mind of mind, okay? You call Brother Theo, okay? Who is this guy? You cannot deny he has a physical body, right? Yeah? Then he got a consciousness or a mind trapped inside. Correct or not? Apart from this, what else? Yeah? What else? How does this arise? What are the conditions behind its arising? The Buddha said you are born or you come out there. That's why you got a hint from there. Then you are heir to your karma. Conditions for the world. You are what you are because of karma. When the Buddha said you are conditioned and supported by your karma, means what? This form of mind is conditioned by your karma. That's why it's karmically conditioned out. Understand now? From the single sperm and ovum, then the consciousness went in, then it became a fetus, then born into the world, then you grew up. Understand now? Then what are the things that support this form of mind, the phenomena? How does this continue to exist? You need to have a functioning physical body, correct or not? Like just now, the hearing consciousness. You need vibration from my speech. You need an ear that is functioning. You need a consciousness and a mind to make contact in there. Then these three conditions, trigger of hearing consciousness, and then this phenomena arise. Understand? So this form of mind is another phenomena, understand? Karmically conditional. So initially when it's conditional, there is a physical body. They say this physical body must not damage. The organ must not fail. Understand? Certain organ, not vital, can fail. But the heart cannot fail. Understand? Or the brain cannot fail. Understand? Or the liver also cannot fail. These are vital organs. Any of these fail, it will be very difficult to sustain that consciousness. So there is a physical form that must have the condition to support the consciousness that is trapped inside. Understand? Then the Buddha said, you are being supported and conditioned by your karma. Means what? Every moment, every instant, the karmic force. Remember? Supportive karma. Every moment, every instant they come. That's why it pumps your heart. Understand? Your heartbeat. Poopa, poopa, poopa. Then what happens if destructive karma comes? What happened? What happened? No more karmic force there. Destructive, understand? Your karmic force no more. It cannot support you anymore. So what happened? The heart cannot beat in there. So they put you on what? Machine. Understand? Then you become vegetable. Understand? Because that one still maintain the brain, everything. Understand? Then they feed you with oxygen. Understand? Then they put drip in you. That's why science now can keep you like a vegetable for a longer time. They hope to have cure by then. Breakthrough. Then they hope you can recover. This is what nature's law is all about, understand? Uttu niyama, bija niyama, then karma niyama, they act together, understand? Then citta niyama, of course, is the mind. These five order, they are all there. So the condition that support this form of mind that you call Brother Theo, is the physical body that is in proper condition. Not perfect, but at least in the condition where it can sustain this consciousness, understand? Then this life force can continue to be. And then alive, animate into a human being. Then you call breath still. If I deludedly believe this is me, then I will have a lot of suffering. You know what happened? I will think this form is me. Then I worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. Understand? Then if I attach to feeling, not understanding that this is condition arising, causal phenomena, because it's condition arising, cause of knowledge, is impermanent, dependent on condition it arises. When condition ceases to be, it ceases to be. That feeling come and go. The nature is still around. Then who am I? What am I? If feeling is not me, then why does it arise in me? That's why I realize the Buddha teach, rupang anicca, rupang ananta. This is for the form. physical form and external form. Then he moved on to the aggregate of mind. Vedana anicchang, vedana anatta is the same. Feeling is conditioned, arising, impermanent, come and go. That's why it's anatta, empty, non-self, not me. If feeling is me, what happens? When a good feeling arises, then it disappears. I should die with it, isn't it? Cannot. If feeling is me, I should die with it, isn't it? But feeling come and go, this form and mind still around. Then what is going on? Feeling is not me. That's why feeling is condition arising, cause of phenomenon. Perception also, every moment I perceive, pass away, come and go, this form and mind still around. The nature still around. So feeling and perception is not me. Then sankhara, like anger, fear, emotion, they come and go. But this form and mind, this nature is still around. So how can anger be me? How can fear be me? Understand not? That's why all of sankhara is impermanent, condition arising. How do you get angry? When you see something, hear something, or recall something that you are not happy through your wrong view, you are conditioned into it. So anger is a condition arising mental state, understand not? And this is not you. But you deludedly believe, that guy make me angry. Then your thought project, yalla, do something about it. This fellow is too much. That's how you get yourself into big trouble. You deludedly grasp anything and believe that all these emotions that arise are you. That everything you see, the Buddha said, under the analogy of the five aggregate, you think is real. The Buddha said is what? Like a? Analogy of vinyanang is what? Consciousness is what? Magician. What is a magician? Illusionist. Create illusion for you to see. The Buddha said all these are illusion, no? All of perception is just like a mirage in the desert, no? Feeling is like bubble, no? Pop, gone. Moment to moment, rise and pass away. And this energy given to you, you don't understand, no? Sankara is like what? Energy for sankara is what? Banana stem. What is a banana stem? How many of you have done the art class in primary school? You use the cut banana stem and chop all over the place. I go and peel it when I was young. I also don't know why I go and peel it. Then when I reached the center, I realized it was empty. Sankhara look very real. All your thought, your views, your opinion, your thinking, everything, mental activity, mental emotion. But as you peel layer by layer, banana stem, at the center of it, at the core of existence, it is empty. Understand? Why is it not empty? It's just thought, understand? It's just mental state, understand? Come and go. You deludedly grab and cling and hold and give so much meaning for what that thought create outside there. The phenomenal world become real because of your delusion. You grab, you cling, and you give so much meaning, understand? Understand? So when you understand that this five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent, conditioned arising, if you attach, cling, and hold, and grasp deludedly thinking it's you, suffering arise. That is the final summary of the First Noble Truth. Then you understand the three universal characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering. Then because it's impermanent, it is never a permanent, unchanging entity that you can call this is me, this is I. Therefore, this can be mine. If these five degrees of form and mind also you cannot own, cannot possess, where it's conditioned arising, karmically conditional, for you to use, to live life, to understand life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. But you deludedly grasp and cling and you don't know how to use. You think it's you. If it's for me to use, then it's so beautiful there. Like what I've been doing for the last 25 years. I use it. Use it for the good of the many. Like a car. If this car got problem, certain part break down, what do? Send to a mechanic. Get a good one. Make sure they don't overcharge you. And know how to repair. So do what you have to do. You can worry about it. Your health problem. say, the doctor say, must wait for 1 week for biopsy result to come out. Then the thought project, that whole week cannot sleep. It's a true life case, you know. Many people tell me. You know. One of them is the president of one of the Vipassana society, you know, for many years. You know. He was diagnosed with something, right? The doctor told him, very likely it's third or fourth stage cancer. I tell you, for that 1 week waiting for result, it's like hell. Is it? The whole face pucat. He cannot joke, cannot talk. I visit him one day after the result come out. Wow, he was so different. No? Wow, he can talk about it. Oh, he can laugh. You know? Wow, but he say, in his own word, that week was like hell. Why? The reality is, that moment you should be peaceful. Why are you not peaceful? Because you go and project your thought, which is not a reality. Understand? What if the result is positive? What if the doctor say is right? What if my wife come to know? What if my company come to know and don't want me? Retrench me or ask me to leave? All this, which is not a reality yet, through thoughts projection, what happened? Fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation keep on arising. This is suffering. The reality is, meditate and understand all this clearly and don't be deluded by it. Use it. If it's a car, use it. Understand? This form, like a vehicle to take you around. Appreciate while it's functioning. Understand? Thank the car for serving you so well. After 60 years, you're perfect. So you rejoice. Compared to all those that are less fortunate, you are so lucky, so blessed. And you don't have contentment. Understand? You don't appreciate life. That's why you don't have happiness. You keep on what? Complaining. Understand? Comparing. Why people so lucky? Why they can have such nice house? Why they can have such nice car? Why their wife so beautiful? You never ask. Because karma, understand? Take care of karma, understand? You want beautiful wife? You suffer, understand? You have beautiful wife like goldfish, you know. You know what is goldfish? Very difficult to keep one, you know. Oh, can swim away very fast, understand? You're so beautiful. Everybody come to your house. Wow, your goldfish is so beautiful. Understand? Can I borrow for a week? Then one day, disappear. Because goldfish also want good food, good environment, understand? You cannot provide. What happened? Unless you get a really Dhamma goldfish, then different. Dhamma goldfish, that one will stay. That one won't do that thing. So, life is understanding. That's not. If you don't understand, you're deluded. Then this physical form is just one aspect. What about the mind? The mind is like a tool for you to use to live life. Understand? Not? Live life means what? That's why the Buddha taught you under Noble Eightfold Path, you must cultivate right view. Then straighten your view. Then with the right view, cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So the user of thought is very important, understand or not? Correct or not? So if thought is karmically conditioned out for you to use this life, like this body as a vehicle, thought as a tool, T-O-O-L, understand or not? For you to use, to live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life. Then use it properly, understand? Use it through right view to arise the right thought, the wholesome thought. To live life, to experience all of the beauty and wonders of life, to be a benefit to all, understand? To be a blessing to all. But instead, you use it to arise wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action and wrong livelihood, and hit out at others and make people miserable and you yourself miserable. Is that the right way to use thought? Is that the right way to use thought? Wrong, is that? I give you an analogy, you know. Let's say that thought is like a tool, your knife. You use your knife at home, for what? You cut fruits, you shape whatever vegetable, and you use it to assist you to crafting and cut string and all this thing. But if you deludedly use this knife to cut yourself, harm yourself, hurt yourself, and chop people, is that the right way to use knife? That tool? You can see it's obviously wrong there. Correct? It's stupid, is it? Who would do that? Deluded. That's stupid. But you are using your thought that way, you know. Harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself miserable, you know, day in and day out, especially depressed one, unhappy one. Why you cannot see? You go and think until you become so miserable. You are using thought wrongly. You know? That's why the Buddha say, if the user of thought is deluded, thought become wrong thought. But the trouble is, nobody teach you what is wrong thought. What is wrong thought? You keep on arising without you knowing. You know? That's why you become miserable, heedless. That's why the hindrance are so powerful. What are wrong thought? What are wrong thought? They teach you right thought. Huh? What are right thought? For Brahma Vihara, they teach you. So limited as loving kindness, compassion, yeah? Sympathetic joy, equanimity. Metta, karuna, mudita, and upeka. You think these are right thought? I tell you, there are a lot more right thought. But more important is, what is wrong thought? Nobody teach you. You listen. Huh? This will help you break through. Then you go back and reflect on what thought you arise throughout the day. Then you check whether the Buddha is right. The Buddha said, all of wrong thoughts are thoughts that condition your misery, unhappiness, fear, worry, anxiety, selfishness, emotional negativity, and unhappiness. These are all wrong thoughts. That's why whenever you are unhappy, whenever you are not peaceful and miserable, you already have the evil root. Anasana. You already arisen the wrong thought. Anasana. The evil roots are there. They are the roots of all evil. They make you miserable. You already have delusion. You already have attachment. You already have craving. You already have grasping. You are holding on to all these things that you're not supposed to hold. But you cannot see the universal characteristics are impermanent. When the Buddha said, Sankara anicang, Sankara dukang, Sabbe Sankara, of course, then all of Dhamma, anatta. You never penetrate the teaching. You don't know what is Sankara. You keep on using Sankara without understanding. Then Vedana anicang. You never contemplate, reflect. There's a second, third thing, wisdom not there. You don't understand. You read Dhamma like a theory, like parrot. Then after that, you don't know how to apply and cultivate. That's how the Buddhist community cannot progress, get stuck. Like our brother said, nobody teach. Nobody share like that. This is not from the text. This is from what I realized and what I understood. That's why I can share with you and tell you what is happening. Then coming to your question, he asked, is it thought that enter Nibbana or realize Nibbana? What do you think? Can thought realize Nibbana or not? Thought is coming, of course, is correct. But how can thought realize Nibbana? What is Nibbana? Nibbana is the unconditioned. Cessation of form and mind. You know. Form and mind also cease. You know. The pure consciousness also cease. You know. The true mind also not there. You know. That's why Nibbana is the unconditioned. There is no word, no concept. You cannot even talk about it. You can never even describe it. Whatever you describe is the word, not that thing. Nibbana is to be realized. That's why the second turning of the third noble truth, the Buddha said, this cessation of suffering, which is Nibbana, is to be what? You have to realize it. Who realized? The form and mind that realize, understand, then the mind ceases. Understand? The form and mind ceases. The mind realizes itself and sees there is no one inside there. That's why you must meditate, silence your mind, and find out what is this thought. Is there a thinker behind the thought? Is there a living being within this form and mind? That's why you never go into all this. You never silence your mind to find out how your mind stirs. How avijja, paccaya, sankhara, and what is sankhara? You can see them all inside through your silent mind. If you apply thought, you are gone. When thought is active, you are no longer mindful, you are no longer aware. What is awareness? What is mindfulness? Awareness before the knowing, the perception, the activity of mind, the aggregate of mind. So all this, when you understand, it becomes very clear. And this question is self-answered. Who realized Nibbana? Who? You can see the form and mind, but the form and mind is not you. So it's not you enlightened. But the form and mind, because it's connected to this nature that has the wisdom, after it enters cessation and realizes Nibbana, is not a person. That cessation that you went, that the form and mind sees and went through, develops a type of very penetrative wisdom. Very, very powerful. That's why Panya arises, the last spiritual faculty. After the seven factors of enlightenment come to be, wisdom come to be. When Panya arises, this nature is connected to this wisdom. This form and mind with this wisdom know how to live life. And then you say this form and mind is enlightened. Yes, but this is not me. If I think this is enlightened, I'm equally deluded. Then the ego becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. Then there is an entity already. That's why the realization and the understanding is not by a person. It's the thought that realizes itself and freezes. Then that thing, Nibbana, you cannot talk about it. You cannot describe it. That's why Nibbana is unconditioned. Cannot be spoken. Cannot be described. Don't worry, not for you, up there. But you can understand later when you transform, when you cultivate, where it happened. Initially, even a glimpse of Nibbana, when you go through sainthood, you will appreciate this talk. You listen to it later, maybe a few years from now. Some maybe sooner. Now technology help. Don't believe technology, Don't be like those people who are gullible, is it? Money is the source of all evil. You blame money for whatever evil that arises. Money is just money, neither good or evil. It depends on who. The user of money is there. That's why the user of thought and the user of money is the same. If the user of thought is deluded, then like money, thought becomes wrong thought. If the user of thought have right view, right understanding and wisdom, thought become right thought. That's why you become noble one. I'm referring to the form of mind. But it's not you. It's not a permanent unchanging entity. This one is the Nimana Kaya. Functional body that perform the function of, you can call Brother Teo, that come to this world, this segment of life. But this segment of form and mind is just one segment of the aeons of birth and death. And none of that are me. It just chemically conditioned out a vehicle and a tool for this form and mind to arise. Then because it's connected to the karmic nature and the spiritual nature, it will inherit everything. Excuse me. That's why this form and mind have certain uniqueness and characteristics. Then this form and mind is beautiful, understand? When you connect with this wisdom and understanding, you can live, understand? You can use it to live. That's why the Heart Sutta say, true emptiness is wonderful existence. Remember? 真空妙有. When you penetrate true emptiness, life becomes wonderful. That's why this form and mind, beautiful, you can use it to live. It's so wonderful. When you have that condition, it's the phase three of the Dhamma, understand? Pariyati patipati pativeda. You get to enjoy the fruition of that thing. Understand? Then you can live the noble life, the good life, the happy life, like the note and the table that I give to you all. Go back and read. No more suffering. No more delusion. Everything is so beautiful, understand? Your karmic nature is so beautiful. Your spiritual understanding is so beautiful. But This is referring to the form of mind. Even though it's not so real, moment to moment, life passes by. As real it can be, it's only within the moment. Split second is dead and gone. But that is life. That is the reality. Moment to moment, life passes by. What are you doing? Are you deluded or are you heedful? When you are heedful means what? You can be with the moment to truly live life, to experience all of the wonder and beauty of life. Yeah, within the moment, when there is no delusion, no thought, no suffering, there is only one. There is only one. When there is no delusion, no thought, no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no suffering, peace, anasana. Joy, happiness, anasana. Beautiful mental state for you to use. That time sankhara very beautiful. Feeling remain as pure feeling, won't become craving. That perception become pure perception, so beautiful. Everything is so pristine, so beautiful. That time really real. Every moment is very real. So within that moment, you experience all of life, all of the wonder and beauty of life, the oneness of life. Your nature is with everything. And it's never so beautiful. Connected to that oneness, with that clarity, with that understanding, with that wisdom, with that panya. That is what the good life is all about. And you somehow don't know how to cultivate and use this form of mind appropriately. Okay? There's another question, I think. Pass the mic. Pass the mic. Wait. No. For the recording, we hope you can cooperate.
When the mind and the thoughts are ceases, is there a knowing?
I asked you back the same question. In your state of mind, you cannot understand. Then why you want to ask that question? It's because of the thought. Where you think there must be a knowing. What is that knowing?
The knowing, can the knowing be awareness? Awareness. No.
I ask you one question. What know? Who know? Awareness is before the knowing. Even awareness also ceases to be the true mind. And you want to ask the unconditioned, is there a knowing? You might as well ask, is there a person inside there? Anasana, who know? Who realize Nibbana? There is no one to realize Nibbana. The form and mind, through that wisdom, understand. No more grasping, no more ignorance, no more delusion. Then the form and mind without craving cease to be. And that cessation is a natural state. Free mind, born of wisdom, born of zero craving. Not the absence of craving. A lot of people define turnover through a heart. The absence of craving is Nibbana. You agree or not? When you radiate metta, you got no craving in there. You think you realize Nibbana? Not the absence of craving. When there is no more delusion, no more ignorance, then only the real cessation happens. And when it happens, it's the unconditioned. It's not dependent on condition.
Brother Teo, sorry. Called the non-self?
All these are words. Don't try to understand. Like swimming. If you don't know how to swim, don't try to understand what swimming is. Go and swim. The day you know how to swim, all the questions answered. Because this cannot be understood when you are not in that condition and understanding. It's just like the fish asks. You tell him, hey, there is God environment, land, no water one. No. You know what the fish tell you? God, man? Not that one. Then what happened? The fish still can swim or not? No more water. No, he asks you, can still swim or not? Then you say, you want to know? I bring you up there. Then you know. Then the Buddha say what? your mind is like this fish on land. Chatalang patalang. Flip-flop here and there. That's why you have to be in that environment and that state, and you have to go through that cessation to understand. But it cannot be spoken. Understand? So, set your priority accordingly. Need to cultivate first, understand not? Then, develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma first. Then, strengthen your spiritual faculty. Then, make aspiration and cultivate sincerely, diligently. Then, there is a possibility. And this is more tangible. This is more useful than asking all those questions. Understand not? It's like the Buddha said, you shot by an arrow already. You refuse to be treated as a human. No, I want to know who shoot me. I want to know what poison is it. Yeah. You don't tell me, I don't want to be healed. So it's just like, I don't want to cultivate. Unless you tell me what Nibbana is. Yeah. Is Nibbana like that? Is Nibbana like that? Then you might as well be the guy with the arrow. Wait for answer. Because your time is so short, understand? Life is so short. The window for sasana is just this window. If you miss, I tell you, if you really have the understanding, you will regret like anything. I tell you. Where this window is very rare, this sasana. To be born as a human being, to have the condition to come into contact with the Buddha Dhamma, and to have the condition to cultivate, and you choose to be doubtful. You choose to go your ignorant way, your stubborn way, in inverted comma. It's up to you, your life. Then you can ask me, where's the old? He know you, he know me, what? Huh? Clear? Huh? Then why you want to ask us to cultivate so hard? Understand? Yes, he know you, he know me. But there is a law of karma. Understand? Every time this form of mind through delusion come back, miserable. And if through this window that you can have this understanding of what form of mind is, what this five aggregate of form of mind is, and who are you, and what this whole understanding is, you better make haste and develop this understanding and make aspiration and vow life after life. You come with this understanding so you know how to live. Otherwise, I tell you, you will get entangled back very fast. If there is such condition to develop this understanding of this teaching, this truth, if you miss this window and neglect through heedlessness, it is going to be a long, long wait for the next window. And that I can assure you. Okay? Almost 10:30, huh? We better stop. Sadhu. Okay, not to say I don't want to answer your question, no point, understand? It will lead you astray more and more. If it's relevant, if it's of benefit, this nature is very, very understanding. It will explain. Yeah, these are not questions that they want to understand also. They also say, don't waste time. But when the question that have condition for them to understand, the nature will know. Well, I have been giving so many talks for the last 10 years. I tell you, every time certain question asked, it's not the human being asked, up that condition you to ask. And because when the question is phrased, I know at that time, at that moment, the living being cannot understand. It's meant for them. Because a lot of this understanding is not easy to come by. Yeah. So when there is condition, this higher being, they know, and they are filled with joy. So many things you may not understand now, not important. Understand? Have an open mind. Understand? Don't try to use your thought and go and try to know. Forget about it. You will be wasting a lot of your time. Understand? That's why the Buddha said there are a lot of questions. No need to ask. Understand? Like what happened to the Buddha after his parinibbana. You go and spend your time asking those questions. Will the Buddha be reborn? What type of question is it? Who is the Buddha also you don't know? you think that Sakyamuni Buddha, the 2600 over years on, is the Buddha? Eh? He told the disciple what? He who sees the Dhamma sees me, you know. Not he who sees that Nimanakaya, that form of the Buddha, sees me, you know. Because there was one monk keep on staring at him, you know. You remember the 32 hallmark and the 80 over minor characteristic? Appreciating. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm appreciating your hallmark and all those things. You know what the Buddha told him? He just reprimanded him. Foolish one, he said. Only he who sees the Dhamma sees me. That's why I go and cultivate. That's why I go and realize the Dhamma. You think you see this one, you see the Buddha. And then every day go and buy a beautiful image. Huh? Every day go and look. Then walk like the Buddha, sit like the Buddha, answer nature's call like the Buddha. You think you follow him? All the things he do, you can become Buddha. Buddha don't wear shoe, you also don't wear shoe. You go and follow. Then Buddha Parinibbana on the right hand side, you also go and follow. You know who is the Buddha? He is the embodiment of his perfection, the 10 perfection. That's why he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being. So the Buddha is the embodiment of his virtue and wisdom. That's why the image is not the Buddha. But when he asks us to like pay respect to the 4 objects of veneration, that is to recall to mind. Understand? Like the Buddha Rupang. Recall to mind his great teaching, his great virtue, wisdom. Then develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then diligently cultivate. That is the intention. And when he recalled to mind the great Mahabodhi tree, under which he became enlightened, he has a lot of gratitude, a lot of joy, and he thanked the Mahabodhi. That's why everywhere, he said, when you see this Bodhi tree, reflect on what he has done for the Buddha during the time when he was striving hard for enlightenment. Then the relics, the stupa, the chetia. That's why Vandami Chetiyang Sabam Sabbataneshu Patititang Saririke Datu Mahabohing Buddha Rupang Sakalang Sada. So this one you have to understand. It's not ask you to worship these 4 things. No. These are the object of veneration. You venerate them through understanding, through right view. Okay? We better end.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Brother Gan. Brother Teo, and a token of appreciation for your compassion to share Dhamma knowledge with us. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
And, they are the one that provide transport and brought me. Then tonight I should thank your Tiratana, your sponsor, our dinner just now. We rejoice on behalf of Kanyamita, my wife and me. We thank you all. We rejoice with your wholesomeness and generosity. You see, whatever you all do, the committee actually help you all a lot through this condition. Not to say I'm greedy for dinner. Sometimes you ask Brother Tay and Gan, we take turn to actually treat you all. Because this is what they call dhanaparami. When there is condition, we do with joy. And it benefits all. All the kayamita, you don't underestimate. You got condition to let them even have a drink. Oh, it's very wholesome. So when we do all this, we do with understanding. Then it's not out of greed for merits and all these things. You do because there is condition to do. The condition is what? You invite me to give a sharing. And we have to eat, isn't it? I cannot rush to clang an empty stomach, stay here. Then I also don't feel good. So I need food. So when I need food, if there is condition, we might as well meet. But if it's troublesome, I will not. My wife used to tell me, no need to trouble people. We eat in SS2, then we go. Also can, but then there is no condition for wholesomeness. Understand? Since we have the condition behind, and they are so willing to actually receive us and join us. I remember first time Brother Gan came and fetched me that time. He was the one that took me to have dinner and pay for it. We had that time three of us only, my wife, me, and him. Then that time, I don't know how much it cost, but not much. Lah. Sometimes we just had bak kut teh, then my wife shared with me one. But of course, sometimes it takes us to that hawker store behind here, the one on the shed there. I think they know. That one got simple food, but quite okay. Cha hu also they have. Then the usual Chinese tuo cha type of food, whatever it is. It is something that I will rejoice. Then because of that condition, when I rejoice, things happen. Okay, that's it. You are better continue. Okay.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And before we end this session by sharing merits, just an announcement. We are lucky that Brother Teo has decided also to give another talk next Friday. Okay? So try not to think that it's an obstruction, but rather hope that there is no obstruction, because this topic he's going to talk on, it's very important. And the topic is emptiness. This is much mentioned by the Mahayanists, the Theravadin also, although in another way, they will talk about the kong, you know, emptiness. Alright? So, do not think that, why I want to come next week, Brother Teo is talking about emptiness. There's nothing to talk about emptiness. It's empty. Okay. I hope all of you can be here. And also, for those who are not here, please pass the word around, because that is a very good topic. Alright? And we'll end here. Brother Teo will lead us in the sharing.
Okay, we will do the sharing of merits with the devas, then transfer merits to the departed one. Then after that, you can make your aspiration. Okay, we will chant in Pali. Those who know how to chant, we chant together. Those who may not know how to chant, you just silent your mind and rejoice silently. Sadhu, sadhu inside. Sharing of merits with the devas. Aka sata cha bomata. Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditwa Chirang Rakantu Loka Sasana Ita Wata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabasampati Siddhya Idang Menya Tinang Hotu Sukita Hontu Nyatayo Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Idang me nyati nang ho tu sukita hon tu nyatayo. Ipmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu yawa nivana patiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and Sakyamuni Buddha and all the worthy ones.